So it's hard to avoid the elephant in the room, which was the motu proprio by Pope Francis. And we're trying to understand what it means. And Jesuits, and this isn't a knock, it's just a reality, they tend to enjoy ambiguous language. So, and I guess the idea there is that it's open for interpretation for people, and that's an act of humility. And but it's very frustrating because we just want something clear, you know, tell us clarity. Pope Benedict was great with clarity. Anyway, again, I'm not knocking the Pope or anything like that, but we are sitting here confused, and so we're going to unpack this, decode it, and see what it means. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about right now, motu proprio was sent out by the Pope on the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 16th, that basically it seems like he's saying he's limiting the traditional Latin Mass, and some even say he's trying to get rid of it. But anyways, we don't really know. We got a letter right away from our bishop that said, just don't worry, everything is as normal right now, as usual. So there's that. But the justification seems to be, and again, it seems to be, I could be dead wrong, and please, I apologize if I am, but again, it's trying to unpack ambiguity. But it seems to be that the justification for doing this was that it was somehow divisive to have the traditional Latin Mass, and even seemed to have accusations that those who are of a traditional set seem to be a divisive people. And of course, you all are traditional people. You know, it might not be about the Latin Mass for you, but I know probably all of you, you know, go to one or the other every once in a while. But and then we know those who actually prefer the Latin Mass full time, who were just had it this morning at 7:30. The most amazing people I've ever met in my life. I mean, you are too. I say the same thing about both of you, about all of us here. This family here at St. Mary of Pine Bluff, you're incredible. You know, we hear reports that 70% don't believe that this is God on the altar. Well, I can assure everyone that 100% of you do. And so it's things like that. But your graciousness, you know, your joy, your eagerness to help, everything about you and those who prefer the traditional Latin Mass is amazing. And I was thinking about this morning, and in the context of the readings, you know, the first reading was, "Woe to you shepherds who scatter your sheep," and it went on like that. And today Jesus looked at them and he was moved with pity for them, where they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he tried to get them to get united. And, you know, that's what we're doing, right? We want to be a strong family with each other, but we want to be wholly connected to God. And I've come to understand, 33 years now of my priesthood, the lifetime of Jesus, and I've come to understand that there are many ways in which I live out my priesthood. But if I'm a good shepherd, if I truly love you, if I want what's best for you, if I want to feed you spiritual nutrients, what's good for you, I boil it all down to this. I've got to do everything within my power to get us all to a place where we cry out, "My Lord and my God." Now, where does that line, particular line come from? Most notably, Thomas, right? So Jesus came into the upper room. They were cowering for fear of the Jews, right? And they had abandoned Jesus when he was arrested, and so they were hidden away. And Jesus came in, even though the doors were locked, even though there were barriers for them to receive Jesus, he came in. Now, you can imagine that if you're one of the apostles, you're just like, whoa, right? what's going on here? But what does Jesus say first? He says, peace be with you. He wants us to have that kind of peace. I'm a big fan of Father Spitzer. And among many things he does, he teaches on the four levels of happiness. Now, I'm not going to sit and dissect them all here. I have done this before. But I do think that it goes to exactly what we're talking about here. And so he talks about, I'll just talk about the first one. The first one is almost like that selfish happiness where, you know, get out of my way, I want my stuff, I want to be cool. And so you get happy that way. It's a base kind of happiness. But he goes through all of them and gets to four. What is four? Sublima beatitudo. Sublime blessedness or happiness. That's, and it's a peace beyond all understanding. You get in that place and you just rest and you just go, my Lord and my God. I might be describing what everybody encounters when they see the holy sacrifice of the Mass offered with great reverence and sacredness, when they hear this beautiful choir, when they see these incredible churches. All these are opening up the barriers that we have to Jesus so that he can get in. And then what happens is, right? Peace be with you. And then he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. But what happened there? They opened up. And my brothers and sisters, for all these centuries, that's what this holy sacrifice of the Mass was meant to do, to open us up. We've talked about this. Pope Gregory ordered the gifts of the Holy Spirit, rightly so. You can't get to two unless you go through one. You can't get to three unless you go through one and two. So you got to go through one to get to all of them. And one is sublima beatitudo, my Lord and my God, the peace that goes without beyond all understanding. Wonder and reverence. Now when you're near this place, bring the Holy Spirit, Lord. Bring the Holy Spirit. I'm all in. If I'm a true shepherd, if I'm a good shepherd, I want a lot of stuff for you. But first and foremost, I want that for you. And for me, I want us to get to the place where we turn it over to God and we say, come, Holy Spirit, bring it. Bring it. Because I'm ready now. The peace beyond all understanding. Sublima beatitudo. Sublime blessedness. The highest level of happiness. We want that for ourselves, for each other. And so that, my brothers and sisters, is what a traditional Latin Mass, and I believe too, the way that we offer the Mass here. This is a Mass that's held with a concentration on being as reverent as we can possibly be. Because we believe this is God made present on the altar. And so how we offer the Mass, how we worship, should reflect that. And we tried really hard to do that. I always compliment my servers. They're like, you know, honor guard. You know, they're why? Because I tell them, I said, it's important, guys. Because when souls see you take this seriously, it helps them to go, oh yeah, I guess we do have to take this seriously. This is a big deal. This is God made present on the altar. Or it's a hoedown and a shindig and we're having fun and we're communicating and shaking hands. Do you see? I don't know where this is going, and I do believe Bishop Hying will do everything within his power to protect the traditional Latin Mass. But here's what I do believe, and I'm actually on page 6 of a book I'm writing. Maybe I'll call it a manual, I don't know. But I want to help other priests to get to where we've gotten. Here, I'm just going to list out some of the things that we've done at St. Mary's. We began offering the Mass ad orientem. This was the most important improvement we made. It had the greatest impact. We offer a communion rail. We encourage proper reception of communion, kneeling and on the tongue. We restore chant and polyphony, no more contemporary songs. We added more Latin. We no longer use extraordinary ministers. We use more incense. We added more silence. We eliminated the sign of peace. We encourage appropriate attire. We support sacred veiling of women. We use only male servers, and they are well-trained like a military honor guard. We work very hard to develop an excellent choir. The priest stays strictly to the rubrics and chants his parts of the Mass. We gave great attention to signs of the mystery of redemption. So like, for instance, veiling the chalice, veiling the tabernacle, vestments for priests, altar servers, and a cassock and surplice, gloves for servers for touching the sacred objects. We made every effort to restore sacred art and sacred architecture. Those are among just a handful of things that we've tried our best. See, there it is. We've tried our best to offer due reverence to God. And when we do that, God seriously blesses us. He blows into us the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive that peace that goes beyond all understanding. He broke through the door, even though it was locked. And his first words were, "Peace be with you." That's what God wants for all of us. He wants that sublima beatitudo, that sublime blessedness, that sublime happiness that brings that kind of peace. And so, my brothers and sisters, let's remain confident in God, remain confident in our bishop, but remain confident that wherever this goes, if we are good shepherds, we all will be to that place. That place of peace beyond all understanding. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.